Du lytter til Amerikanske Stemmer med mig, Anne Alling.
I believe that together we can make America great again.
To those who are huddled around radios in the forgotten corners of the world, our stories are singular, but our destiny is shared.
Sorry to keep you waiting. Complicated business. Complicated.
I'm running because Trump is the president. And I think our democracy is at stake, for real.
On this vote, the ayes are 232. The nays are 197. The resolution is adopted. Without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid upon the table.
Så faldt hammeren. For første gang i USA's historie er en præsident blevet stillet for en rigsretssag to gange.
Today, in a bipartisan way, the House demonstrated that no one is above the law, not even the President of the United States. That Donald Trump is a clear and present danger to our country. And now, I sadly, and with a heart broken over what this means to our country, of a president who will incite insurrection, will sign the engrossment of the article of impeachment.
President Trump er nu anklaget for at opfordre til oprør, at opildne sine støtter til at storme folkets hus og gå imod landets lovgivere.
All of us here today do not want to see our election victory stolen by emboldened radical left Democrats, which is what they're doing, and stolen by the fake news media. That's what they've done and what they're doing. We will never give up. We will never concede. It doesn't happen. You don't concede when there's theft involved. Our country has had enough. We will not take it anymore, and that's what this is all about.
Vi vil ikke finde os i det mere. Det er, hvad det her handler om, lød det fra Trump på talerstolen foran Det Hvide Hus, lige inden den aggressive menneskemængde begyndte at give sig op mod Kongressen. Og talen er et af de afgørende bevismaterialer i rigsretssagen, der også inkluderer det telefonopkald, som Trump havde med Georgias republikanske Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger tidligere på måneden.
So, look, all I want to do is this. I just want to find 11,780 votes, which is one more than we have, because we won the state.
Da Trump blev stillet for en rigsretssag sidste gang for bare et år siden, var det med anklage om at presse Ukraine til at hjælpe ham med at finde snavs på Biden, og dermed gøre det nemmere at vinde valget. Nu er han sigtet for at prøve at få sine egne politikere og befolkningen til at modsige resultatet af netop det valg, og denne gang har han ikke den samme ultimative opbakning fra sit parti med sig.
This is from Liz Cheney, the number three ranking Republican in the House of Representatives. She just released a statement saying that she will vote to impeach President Trump. She says this insurrection caused injury, death, and destruction. She said the President of the United States summoned this mob, assembled the mob, and lit the flame of this attack. Everything that
Præsidenten samlede den voldelige gruppe og tændte flammen til angrebet på Kongressen, lød det forleden fra den tredje højst rangerende republikaner i huset, Liz Cheney, og hele ni republikanske kollegaer sluttede sig i onsdag til hende og stemte for rigsretssagen, mens de mere trofaste republikanske støtter holder fast i, at rigsretssagen er endnu et desperat forsøg fra demokraterne for at bekæmpe deres ærkefjende Trump.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. 19 minutes. 19 minutes, 4 years ago on Inauguration Day, January 20th, 2017, 19 minutes into President Trump's administration, at 12:19 p.m., the Washington Post headline was, "Campaign to impeach President Trump has begun." And now, with just one week left, they're still trying. This doesn't unite the country. There's no way this helps the nation deal with the tragic and terrible events of last week that we all condemn.
Hvordan skal endnu en rigsretssag forene landet, spurgte Ohio-republikaneren Jim Jordan, mens Trump selv er blevet frataget sin største mikrofon til at protestere mod politikernes anklager.
If you can see this on screen right now, the president's Twitter account has been suspended. And all you can see if you go to @realDonaldTrump at the moment, it says account suspended.
Everything has been sort of wiped off. I har vi kunne følge præsidentens tankegang stort set minut for minut på Twitter. Nu er der blevet slukket for præsidenten, hvis adfærd endnu en gang er sat under lup i kongressen. Alt sammen med bare få dage til Bidens indsættelse, der vil blive bevogtet af flere amerikanske soldater end nogen anden indsættelse i landets historie. Stormen på kongressen, karantæne på Twitter, republikanernes fremtid, rigsretssag og indsættelse af en ny præsident. Nyhederne er braget ud af USA den sidste uge. Men hvad synes amerikanerne egentlig selv om det hele? Demokrater såvel som republikanere. Jeg tror ikke, du kan finde et spisebord i USA, hvor der ikke er blevet talt om stormen på kongressen og alle dets medfølger den seneste uge. Og i dag, der skal vi netop på besøg ved et af de spiseborde, når vi tager hjem til familien Villain i Memphis. Det er en familie på fire, der alle stemte på Biden, men som befinder sig forskellige steder på den politiske venstrefløj, og nu ser med frygt på den situation, deres land står i. Og senere, der skal vi møde en republikaner, nemlig historielæreren og våbenentusiasten Mike Durin, der stemte på Trump i november og ikke mener, at en rigsretssag er vejen frem. Du har skruet ind på amerikanske stemmer på Radio 4. Mit navn er Anne Alling. Velkommen til.
Hi, Anne.
Hi, Mark.
How are you?
I'm good, I'm good. How are you doing?
I've been better, you know?
Yeah.
Health-wise, we're all fine.
Oh, yeah? Good.
Yeah. But, just a rough week.
Den opmærksomme lytter kan måske genkende Mark Villains stemme her. Jeg talte nemlig også med ham i efteråret, dengang om han og familiens politiske holdninger og forhåbninger til præsidentvalget, og hvordan der altid er politik på menuen hjemme hos dem i Memphis, Tennessee.
Hi, Anne.
Hey.
We're all here.
You're all here. All four of you.
Hello.
Yes.
All four.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you. Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year. We definitely got it started, huh?
Feels like the last week has been a whole year to itself.
Right. Are you all in the brown couches in there?
Yes.
Yeah. Same chairs, same spots.
Socially distanced.
Oh, you're still doing that, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
No one has a vaccine yet, but Andrea's due, and then Aaron.
Det er moren Lori, vi hører tale her til sidst. Før da var det datteren Andrea på 25 og sønnen Aaron på 21. Mens Mark, Andrea og Aaron henholdsvis arbejder og studerer hjemmefra, så går Lori stadig på arbejde, hvor hun er omgivet af en masse mennesker, og familien har derfor holdt social afstand inde i huset lige siden marts. Derfor så mødes jeg også med dem over telefonen, i stedet for at tage hjem til dem, for at høre, hvordan de reagerede, da de så kongressen blive stormet.
I was curious to first, like the immediate thoughts that kind of went through your head when you saw this unfolding.
So is Andrea again, and this was my first week teaching high school.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my friends texted me just a simple message. They're storming the Capitol. So, you know, we're all virtual. So they were on screen and I was on screen and I had them working on something and kind of was in shock and did some Googling and realized what was happening and then had to decide whether or not I would say anything
mm-hmm.
to the kids. But it made me think about, you know, any sort of violence in that job, being around kids and high school kids, how I would keep them safe if there was some kind of violence at school or a school shooting. It really kind of contextualized a lot of the violence that's happened in this country for the last few years.
Andrea er gymnasielærer i matematik og var midt i Zoom-undervisningen, da en ven sms'ede hende og sagde, at kongressen var under angreb. Hun blev i tvivl, om hun skulle fortælle eleverne noget, og kom til at tænke på sit ansvar som lærer i et land, hvor for eksempel skoleskyderier er en reel frygt i hverdagen. Samtidig var Laurie på arbejde og så det hele ske på tv'et i frokoststuen ved siden af en af sine kollegaer, som er en loyal Trump-støtte.
So, and this is Laurie. I went to work, and we have CNN on television in our break room.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my colleagues is a Trump supporter.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was watching it with him. As we were watching it, and I was just astonished. I didn't know how to process it. I was saying, you know, this is really strange. You know, what the heck?
Yeah.
And he said, this is what happens when you disenfranchise 70 million voters.
Det her er, hvad der sker, når du tager retten fra 72 millioner vælgere, sagde hendes kollega og pegede op mod CNN, efterfulgt af argumenter om valgsnyd.
And then he started telling me that there's no way that Joe Biden won the election. And he was making a lot of talking points. I mean, it was one after the other. Just points about election fraud, and I would try to counter them. You know, there's no evidence, they brought these to court, and and I realized as we were talking that he interpreted reality in a completely different way, and it's just chilling to me. You know, I keep thinking of Orwell's 1984 and the whole double think. He would say, well, yeah, Trump, you know, he would have won if it weren't for COVID. And at the same time, he did win in a landslide. He could hold those two contrary positions at the same time.
Trump ville have vundet, hvis det ikke var for corona, argumenterede kollegaen, samtidig med at han holdt fast i, at Trump havde vundet. Laurie kunne ikke lade være med at tænke på George Orwells bog 1984 og opdagede, hvordan hende og kollegaen havde to stik modsatte opfattelser af virkeligheden. En realitet, som længe har bekymret Mark voldsomt.
We're speaking different languages in America.
Yeah.
So American voices are very much fractured, which is shocking because you would think that after we came through the Enlightenment and after we came through modern era and scientific method, that we end up here divided about the definition of reality. We are in trouble. This is profoundly disturbing.
Amerika er i alvorlige problemer, mener Mark. Han er retorikprofessor og forfærdet over at opleve, hvordan amerikanerne ikke længere taler samme sprog. En tendens, der har været under opsejling længe, men som Mark alligevel ikke havde troet ville komme så vidt, som det gjorde i kongressen i sidste uge.
And I'm curious, Mark, you say like, you know, America is in trouble, and do you feel like, how did you guys feel like the November 3rd or whenever we ended up finally getting the election result? Like, did you feel when we heard that, okay, Biden won, did you feel a sigh of relief or were you worried already back then?
No, at that point I felt a sigh of relief. I didn't, you know, I heard Trump's rhetoric for months talking about they're going to steal the election, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so he was prepping his base months ago for this. But I didn't realize how bad it could get. I thought somewhere around a week or so after the election, you know, he would settle down, but he didn't. You know, you've always got your extreme left and extreme right. You got crazies all the time. People are just crazy. But never have I seen this many people. That's why we're in deep trouble. I'm very, very concerned about it. This is conspiracy theory thinking.
And it will not go away with Trump leaving office. It won't.
Yeah, Trumpism is bigger than Trump.
Familien Villain føler, de oplevede en helt ny skala af Trumpism i sidste uge, ved at det ikke er noget, der forsvinder, når Biden overtager magten, og Mark er bekymret for landet på en måde, han aldrig har været før.
This is a serious condition. I'm very alarmed about it. I've been alarmed about things before, but nothing like this, because you don't have a common language of reality.
Mm-hmm. Selvom Trump-støtter, som Lauries kollega, har givet udtryk for, at angrebet på kongressen var, hvad man kunne forvente ovenpå efter deres opfattelse valgfusk, så har der fra republikanske politikeres side lydt en solid fordømmelse af de voldelige demonstranters indtrængen i de hellige politiske haller. Men efter Andrea og Lauries mening, så kommer republikanernes afstandstagen alt for sent.
In a way, it was a breath of fresh air. In a way, it was sense and reason on the floor of the Senate. But in another way, it was almost more disappointing because they're admitting, you know, that this is a ridiculous situation that we find ourselves in now, but not admitting their culpability in it.
Right, the red line was their own safety.
Den røde linje blev først trukket, da de republikanske politikers egen sikkerhed var i fare, føler Lori, der ligesom Andrea er skuffet over, at republikanerne ikke tager medansvar efter at have bakket op om præsident Trumps adfærd i de sidste 4 år.
They are responsible. They caused the scenario at the Capitol last week.
Mark har i årtier stemt republikansk, men har siden Trump dukket op i amerikansk politik, forladt sit parti og føler nu, at det er republikanerne selv, der forårsagede det skrækscenarie, der udspillede sig i kongressen i sidste uge. Og vejen tilbage til det republikanske parti, han støttede op om, er lang, mener han, hvis ikke lige frem umulig.
But you used to, Mark, back in the day, you used to vote Republican, right?
Yeah, that was more rational. Pairing of the only two parties that we had.
Mm-hmm. So do you feel like if the Republicans like completely now distant themselves from Trump, rolling the clock four years back or even more, do you feel like they could do that somehow, like recreate themselves more back to like what the Republican Party used to be?
It's possible, but you'd have to have a really strong leadership,
mm-hmm.
and you'd have to have a lot of people fall in behind it.
But
I don't know if you would get that or not. And you'd have to have such a strong leader that could get people to using reasonable language again, the rule of law, respecting the scientific method as it applies to things like climate change, for example. And it would have to be educational, too, because we got people that they're unreasonable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we I'm serious. We got so many people that believe conspiracy theories. How do you get millions of people out of that kind of mode of belief?
Det vil først og fremmest kræve en ny stærk leder og frontfigur at skifte kurs i det republikanske parti. En, der både respekterer loven og kan genuddanne den del af befolkningen, der i dag har så stor en tiltro til konspirationsteorier og modsiger fakta og videnskab, mener Mark. En mission, som Andrea for længst har mistet troen på.
I mean, at this point, and this is Andrea again, I have completely written off the Republican Party as being salvageable. I mean, I never identify with the Republican Party. You know, I grew up, when I was a kid, George W. Bush was president. The Iraq War was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then Obama took over, and I very much found myself kind of falling squarely into a definitely more left-leaning camp, if not leftist, liberal. And so at this point, after Trump, I don't see how the Republican identity can be salvaged as a party of reason or rationality or
relevance
or fiscal responsibility even. I mean,
for Andrea har de seneste år med Trump bevist, at det republikanske parti ikke lever op til deres konservative værdier, og hun ser ikke nogen måde eller mulighed for, at højrefløjen nogensinde vil stå for værdier, hun kan stå inden for. Hun placerer sig selv på den ydre venstrefløj som progressiv demokrat, mens Aaron, der altid er noget mere stille end de andre i de her diskussioner, ikke ser en fremtid i nogen af partierne.
Well, I think Aaron would say the same thing about the Democrats, right?
What do you mean?
That you don't see any bright future coming from Joe Biden's administration
or liberalism or the Democratic Party as a whole.
Yeah, I think our politics are just full of corruption and kind of disgusting in general.
For Aaron er der ikke så meget at diskutere. De amerikanske politikere er generelt korrupte og usmagelige, ligegyldigt hvilket parti de kommer fra. Og Trump er i hans øjne mester i at spille det politiske spil. For mens Mark og Lori er overbeviste om, at Trump selv tror på sine udtalelser og løgne, så føler Aaron, at det hele er et spil for galleriet, udført af en reality show stjerne med sans for manipulation og skuespil.
What we know about the man is that he has a long and established career as a celebrity TV host. And I think like anyone, when you put in your 10,000 hours of practice, you get pretty good at something. Mm-hmm. I think that he is very good at just making a big story that people will pay attention to, no matter what the content is. I think he's carried that over to being president. And I think even now, he continues to act just like he's always acted, and it continues to generate a story which distracts people from big issues like global warming mm-hmm. and so many other things. And I don't think that he believes his own lies. I don't really know what's going on in his head. The only thing that we really know about Trump is that he is an established celebrity TV show host. That's all we know. And I think he's very good at that.
Det eneste, vi reelt ved om Trump, er, at han er en professionel reality-tv-vært, mener Aaron. Alt andet er del af showet, som vi ikke er i stand til at regne ud, hvor meget er skuespil og virkelighed, men som er enormt effektiv og har bragt Trump til den enorme popularitet, han trods den enorme modstand har. Og med til den iscenesættelse, der hører Trumps kommunikationskanaler, som der nu bliver lukket ned for. Men ligesom med republikanernes begyndende afstandstagen, så mener Andrea også, at platformene som Twitters distanceren fra Trump kommer alt for sent.
And I feel like in all of this, like social media just plays such an incredible, huge role. And then now Twitter starts shutting Trump down. What do you guys think about that? Like them shutting him down so directly now? And
it's a little too late, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm glad they did, but obviously they were scared, I think, to be labeled as censorers or some people that censor free speech. Mm-hmm. And it took something of this magnitude, which they should have been able to see coming and mm-hmm. should have been able to condemn earlier for them to actually take any action. So to me, it feels like too little too late.
Også de sociale medieplatforme burde have set det komme, mener Andrea, og lukke ned for præsidenten for længst. Og også når det kommer til at lukke for platforme som Parler, hvor især mange fra den ydre højrefløj er rykket over, mener Lori ikke, der burde være nogen diskussion om at stoppe for kommunikationen.
Yes, I mean, look at what they do with ISIS. Mm-hmm. Why would there be a double standard with domestic terrorism?
Mm-hmm. Stormen på kongressen bør ifølge Lori kategoriseres som terrorisme, og hun kan derfor ikke se, hvorfor der ikke også skal lukkes ned for gerningsmændene til det angreb, når der bliver lukket ned for kommunikationen mellem støtter af internationale terrororganisationer som Islamisk Stat. Men at udelukke folk fra sociale medier er også en gråzone, mener Andrea.
To me, I'm no legal scholar, but it seems like a gray area that is difficult to navigate. Mm-hmm. But there are clear instances where, you know, we can go to Parler now and see that this was actually planned on that platform. Mm-hmm. And then if that is unacceptable, then the president's tweets as well are unacceptable because they instigated the violence. I don't think that it's a free speech issue, maybe, because I don't think that's what the definition of free speech is, but I don't think it's a cut and dry, black and white kind of answer as to what the role and responsibility is of these social media giants.
Mm-hmm. For Andrea er diskussionen om, hvorvidt Parler og Twitter må lukke ned for deres brugere, ikke en diskussion om ytringsfrihed, da det er private virksomheder og ikke i det offentlige rum som sådan, der tales om at censurere. Men samtidig så er balancen hårfin, og det virker for familien Villain her helt klart, at den sociale medieæra skubber og fortsat vil skubbe samfundet ud i en dyster fremtid.
But could you say that the storming of the Congress is a result of that social media era that we live in?
Yes, so we all watched a documentary that came out on Netflix a few months back, The Social Dilemma,
mm-hmm,
and they had VPs, you know, and tech giants kind of doing a bit of an expose on what their job was to write algorithms that would capture attention and further certain narratives and create echo chambers of a sort in order to keep you on the platforms and keep advertisers in reach of you. And the way that documentary ended was when they asked the employees or ex-employees of these companies, what do you think is going to be the natural end to this? They all said pretty much unanimously war.
Måske har du set Netflix-dokumentaren Det Sociale Dilemma, hvor ansatte og tidligere ansatte i den sociale medieindustri fortæller om måden, som platformene er designet til at skabe ekkokamre og lade folk bore sig ned i de parallelle universer. Det design, som de medvirkende ender med at konkludere, vil medføre krig, og som Andrea føler, er hvad vi ser udspille sig i USA lige nu. Du lytter til Amerikanske Stemmer, hvor vi i dag spørger amerikanerne om, hvordan de har oplevet den seneste uges udvikling i USA, og hvordan de oplever konsekvenserne af stormen på Kongressen. Inden vi skal møde dagens republikanske stemme, så bliver vi lige et øjeblik mere hos familien Villain i Memphis. For mens Mark, Andrea, Lori og Aaron mener, at republikanernes fordømmelse af stormen på Kongressen og både de sociale medier og de republikanske politikeres begyndende afstandstagen fra Trump kommer alt for sent, så er de dermed enige i, at en ny rigsretssag er den rette vej frem.
And then now the impeachment or the 25th amendment. Where are you guys on that? Like, do you feel like that's what needs to be done?
Well, as a matter of precedent for the future,
mm-hmm.
When you have something like this happen, even right at the end of a tenure, it cannot go unnoticed. It can't be passed by.
Mm-hmm.
It should be dealt with immediately for the future. This could happen again at some time. We work off of precedents systematically in Western law. And you cannot allow this to go on. It cannot happen. It has to be stopped. It has to be dealt with swiftly, partially, permanently.
Mm-hmm. So. For Mark er rigsretssagen først og fremmest et spørgsmål om at sætte en grænse og et eksempel for fremtiden. At gøre det klart, at hvad Trump har gjort og sagt, ikke accepteres i et land som USA, og at det ikke må gentage sig. Et argument, som også demokraterne i repræsentanternes hus brugte flittigt til at argumentere for deres sag tidligere på ugen, men både de og også Andrea her forklarer ikke er den eneste grund til, at Trump må straffes.
Also, it would remove certain benefits that an ex-president gets to enjoy, like international travel stipends, like the ability to run again in 2024. Mm-hmm. Like Secret Service detail. So, I mean, I think it would be a real consequence to the man himself. So, I support it for sure. I think everybody under this room would support it.
Oh, yeah.
Hvis senatet ender med at stemme for en rigsretssag, og Trump dermed kan blive dømt, vil det også betyde, at han kan blive frataget sin ret til at stille op til valg igen. Og det er noget, der er vigtigt for Andrea at få igennem. Ligesom hun også håber på, at sagen kan nå så langt i senatet, at Trump får frataget sine særlige privilegier som præsident, ved for eksempel ikke at få beskyttelse af Secret Service resten af sit liv, ligesom man ellers normalt får som tidligere præsident. Men så er der også modargumentet om, at en rigsretssag bare vil sprede mere splid i det amerikanske samfund.
And you can kind of make the same argument as the whole like banning from Twitter and all that, like is it just gonna infuriate the other side even more?
No, that will be a consideration for the politicians to make, and they will.
Mm-hmm.
They would try to brush this aside. They'll strongly censure it as strong terms they can.
But can you? I mean, I don't think it's right to hold back on fulfilling the law just because you're worried about the reaction or the backlash. I think the law is the law,
mm-hmm.
and if the president has broken the law, then he needs to be prosecuted.
Jeg har talt med familien Villain dagen inden rigsretssagen gik i gang, og ganske som Mark forudså, så blev et af republikanernes hovedargumenter mod rigsretssagen, at dem vil splitte mere end samle befolkningen. Et argument, som Andrea dog ikke mener kan vinde over nødvendigheden i at stille amerikanske borgere, inklusiv præsidenten, til ansvar for deres handlinger.
But I mean, I think that's a valid point, though, that there would be and will be backlash, mm-hmm. because, like Mom said earlier, Trumpism goes so much further beyond Trump. But it is, you know, Trump is the symbol, the figurehead right now. And so if you impeach him, then the entire movement is going to be outraged. But
Trump er ansigtet på en bevægelse i USA. En Trumpism, der stikker meget dybere end Trump selv, men som vil blive opildnet af en rigsretssag mod deres frontfigur. Spørgsmålet er så, hvor stor den bevægelse er, og her er både Mark og Lauries erfaring, at den fortsat er enorm.
And I mean, I guess also the question is like, how many are in? Because we saw, I don't know how many, say there were 30,000 people there. That's still a very small part of the population, very small part of Trump supporters. Like, do you guys have any kind of feeling about what is the support for what happened?
Yeah, I do. Because I've got hundreds of people on my Facebook page. A lot of them are groups, model airplanes, music, Nashville. People live in Nashville, for example. Mm-hmm. And I have high school friends that are on there, too. And I get a very, very substantial percent of them that are defending at least the spirit of what took place in Washington.
Mark er omkring de 60 og oplever, hvordan en stor del af hans venner på sociale medier, primært hvide amerikanere i hans alder, til en vis grad støtter op om, hvad der skete i D.C. i sidste uge, eller i hvert fald ikke fordømmer det, og i høj grad forsøger at negligere alvoren af angrebet.
They are an attempting actually to minimize to some degree the gravity of the attack on democracy that took place. So percentage wise, it is very substantial, and I am shocked. And this is, comes from educated people as well as very uneducated people.
Mm-hmm.
It is an ideology that they have adopted. It is consistent.
And did you ever think it would lead to a coup attempt?
No, I couldn't foresee this, but I will say that if it happened this time, it can happen again.
Manglen på fordømmelse af angrebet på kongressen er ifølge Mark udtryk for en vidt udbredt Trump-ideologi. En ideologi, som han ikke havde kunne forudsige, ville ende ud i, hvad han og Lauri opfatter som et kupforsøg, men som der ikke er i tvivl om, kan ske igen. Og måden at forsøge at forhindre en gentagelse af angrebet på Folkets Hus er altså ifølge familien Villain at dømme Trump ved en rigsretssag, mens manden, vi skal møde nu, ikke mener, det er vejen frem.
Hello.
Hi, is this Mike?
Yes.
Hey, Mike, how are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good, good. Happy New Year, by the way, a little bit
Happy
late.
New Year to you as well.
Thank you so much. Are you still in Tennessee?
Yes, I am.
Endnu en opmærksom lytter kan måske genkende stemmen her. Jeg har nemlig også talt med Mike Duren før til en udsendelse for et par måneder siden, hvor jeg besøgte et såkaldt gunshow, en slags våbenloppemarked ude på landet i Tennessee. Mike er pensioneret historielærer og sælger i sin fritid pistoler og gamle rifler på markeder rundt i delstaten, og så er han republikaner uden at have været stor Trump-fan.
See, I voted Republican, but I was never what I'd call a Trump fan.
Mm-hmm.
He's abrasive. I didn't like his personality. I liked his programs. I liked what he did.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only way I can describe that.
Trumps stil er ikke Mikes kop te. Han er arrogant og alt for højt råbende, men hans politik derimod støtter Mike op om, og det var derfor, og ikke på grund af personen Trump, at Mike stemte på ham.
Yes, I voted for him. I did. And I would have liked to have seen him win,
mm-hmm.
but he didn't, and you move on.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I feel about it. I certainly wasn't going to the Capitol to protest. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have a little different perspective than a lot, especially a lot of the Trump supporters. The Trump supporters are pretty rabid. A lot of them are. And they really believe that he should have been the winner. I can't say that one way or the other. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I know how I voted. Apparently it wasn't enough. So.
Mike skelner mellem sig selv og Trump-supporter, selvom han også selv stemte på Trump. Han ville ønske, at han havde vundet, men anerkender, at det var Biden, der tog sejren, og kunne ikke selv drømme om at gå op og storme kongressen for sin kandidats skyld. Men på den anden side, så mener han heller ikke, at det var det, der var Trumps intention.
I mean, what did you kind of feel like? I think everybody was kind of watching this unfolding. What did you feel when you saw this on the news? Like what you saw what happened at the Capitol Wednesday?
Well, I think the president got a little carried away with his speech. I don't think he sent them up there to riot. I don't think that was his intention, but that's the way some of them perceived it.
Yeah.
And that created a lot of problems.
Mike mener ikke, at Trump ville have sine støtter til, bogstaveligt talt, at storme kongressen, men så, hvordan det skabte store problemer, at de gjorde. Et problem med Trumps kommunikation, som vi også talte om sidst vi mødtes til markedet i den lille by Paris i Tennessee.
And I remember we talked about that too down in Paris, right? Like how his rhetoric and his way of tweeting and talking, and you kind of feel like that gets a little out of hand sometimes.
Oh, it can be, yeah. I mean, it depends on the individual and how you take it. Mm-hmm. If you take everything literally, what he says, you may have a militant view of things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the way the country was set up. They're supposed to work together within the two parties.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, there's no work going on together.
Dem, der stormede kongressen, repræsenterer en militaristisk tankegang, som ikke er måden landet bør fungere på, mener Mark. Han er selv krigsveteran fra Vietnamkrigen, men har altid kæmpet for sit land, ikke politikerne.
I mean, politics are politics, but when it comes right down to it, I served 4 years in the Navy, went to Vietnam, and I didn't go there because of Republicans or Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
I went there because the country sent me there.
Yeah.
And it didn't make any difference who was the president. That's what they wanted me to do, so I did it.
Mike oplever den interne splittelse mellem republikanere som ham og mere loyale Trump-støtter. Men han føler, modsat hvad mediebilledet ofte beskriver, at hans type uden tvivl udgør flertallet.
And how is that, like, among people you know and Trump supporters that you know, how is it to be, because I feel like usually if you're Republican, you'll somehow agree with other Republicans, but this is a pretty big disagreement among people who voted for the same president as you, right?
Exactly. And, you know, the people that I know here in my immediate neighborhood, most of them voted for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
They were unhappy that he lost, but I don't see anybody going to protesting over it.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see that. They're concerned about Joe Biden and what his agenda is, because I don't think Joe knows right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of factions pulling at him. Progressives, moderates. I wouldn't want his job, I know that.
No. Yeah, it's a biggie he's going into here, huh?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Hernede i Tennessee er stort set alle Mikes naboer republikanere og stemte på Trump, men han føler ikke, at nogen af dem er klar til at storme kongressen for deres præsident. De er nervøse for, hvad Bidens præsidentkandidatur vil medføre, ligesom Mike ikke mindst på grund af Bidens position på våbenlovgivningsområdet. Men de militante Trump-støtter, som han kalder dem, er stadigvæk kun en lille del af Trumps 72 million store vælgerskare.
You know, I mean, I guess it's a matter of perspective. There was a large crowd there, but it's not as large as the country is.
Yeah.
So, and there's a lot of Republicans that voted for Trump are not going to go beating down the windows of the Capitol building.
Størstedelen af republikanske vælgere har ingen intention om at smadre kongressens vinduer, og netop derfor mener Mike heller ikke, at en rigsretssag mod Trump er vejen frem for det splittede land.
I don't think impeachment is the way to go. I mean, he's got 7 days left.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're doing is trying to make sure, ensure that he doesn't run again and for office later on. And he's 74 now. And in 4 years, he might not even be capable of running that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's going to antagonize a lot of people if they follow through with this impeachment.
Yeah.
I really believe it will. And that's not good.
Mike støtter præcis det argument, som familien Villain er imod. Nemlig, at en rigsretssag vil betyde mere splittelse og ingen gavn. Han tror på, at Trump er ved at gøre sig klar til at forlade skuden, men frygter, at en rigsretssag vil få ham til at råbe op igen og opildne til mere oprør.
I think he's finally come to the realization he's got to let it go.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why he's been so low profile the last week after, since that thing last Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he'll do or say much of anything over this last week. But if they continue on this path of impeachment, he might say a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to incite that group out there that really want to get militant about this thing.
Yeah.
And I hate to see that.
Yeah.
En rigsretssag vil give mere kul til de militante stemmers bål. Og i det lange løb er det bedre at prøve at undgå, mener Mike, der dog godt hører demokraterne som familien Villains ønske om at sætte en grænse.
But it's also for them to set an example, you know, that they feel like he definitely incited what happened and they want to make clear that that is not okay in America.
Well, I understand exactly what they're saying. However, if let's say, give you a hypothetical, suppose they do go ahead and impeach you, and then next week you have these militants going to these state capitals and burning them down.
Mm-hmm.
Is it worth impeaching him over that? Mm-hmm. I don't think so. I don't say that will happen, and I certainly hope it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
But we saw enough last week to know that there's a group out there. We don't know how large that group is,
mm-hmm.
but they to get their point across, they'll do whatever they have to do.
Yeah.
At least what they think they have to do.
Mm-hmm.
For Mike er det ikke værd at dømme Trump ved en rigsretssag, hvis det betyder, at militante borgere angriber regeringsbygninger landet over i hævn. Og selvom det er en lille procentdel af amerikanerne, der har sådan en hævnlyst, så han rigeligt i D.C. i sidste uge til ikke at ville have det til at ske igen. En voldelig stemning, som Mike personligt har set amerikanerne forberede sig på og væbne sig mod de seneste måneder, hvor både hans og kollegaernes våben- og ammunitionssalg er eksploderet.
And I mean, I feel like, you know, we were talking about down in Paris how everybody was buying ammunitions and weapon like a lot, you know, more than they've been doing for many years. Do you feel like this is also what some of those were like preparing for or kind of fearing would happen, like this kind of even
well,
more
that's,
division?
That was one of the things that they were doing, and they're still doing it.
Mm.
Right now, you cannot go to a gun store. If they've got any guns at all, it's very few.
Mm.
And most of them don't have any ammunition. It's all been bought up. And as soon as it hits the shelves, they buy it up. There's people that are really believe that we may be headed towards another civil war.
Mm-hmm.
And I really hope we don't do that. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't think anybody wants that. At least I don't.
Yeah. But I mean, you know war in a way that most Americans don't. And I just feel civil war is a very, very big word. And
it's huge. It is huge. And nobody wants to see that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they just don't want to see it. And whoever's in power, if it gets to that point, you're going to declare martial law.
Mm-hmm.
And in this country, you don't want to see martial law.
Yeah.
Nobody does.
Mm-hmm.
That's the last step before the actual shooting starts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not a good situation.
Hylderne med våben og ammunition har været tomme i månedsvis, og Mike hører mange frygte en kommende borgerkrig. Men før borgerkrigen kommer undtagelsestilstand, martial law, som er noget, han frygter nærmest lige så meget. Og måden at stoppe udviklingen på er efter Mikes mening altså ikke en rigsretssag, men derimod en fredelig overdragelse af magten, og at Trump trækker sig fredeligt tilbage.
I would like to see Trump just mellow out, do his last week, go down to Florida and have a good time. I'd like to see Biden call the Congress and tell them, let's go ahead and put this to bed. Don't impeach him. Just move on.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what it's going to take. He will have to say that. Otherwise, I believe Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, on their dying deathbed, they'll want to impeach Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Mike ønsker sig, at Trump vil gå fredeligt på pension i Florida, og at Biden vil ringe til senatet og bede dem lægge rigsretssagen i graven. Og gør de det, så mener Mike ikke, der er fare for, at Trump kommer igen om 4 år.
Joe Biden is 78 years old. I don't think Joe will last 4 years.
Mm.
His health is just doesn't look good to me, period.
Yeah.
Trump is 74. What's he going to be like in 78?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just don't know.
Mm-mm.
But I wouldn't worry too much about him running at 78 years old. I mm-hmm. really wouldn't. That's 4 years down the road. Right now, we're at a crossroads, and I think if they want to go down a path to help heal the country, drop the impeachment and move on.
Drop rigsretssagen og kom videre. Det er Mikes råd for at undgå yderligere eskalering i volden og konflikterne. Et råd, som familien Villain tilbage i Memphis altså ikke mener er den rette vej frem, selvom de også føler frygten for fremtiden.
Is there any point in history that you feel like you can somehow compare this to?
I'm not a historian, but you probably, you know, have to go back to sometime around the Civil War.
Hvis Mark skal pege på et tidspunkt i historien, hvor USA har stået i en splittelse som i dag, så skal han helt tilbage til borgerkrigen. Mens Andrea føler, der er ligheder mellem Hitlers Nazi-Tyskland og den voldsomme os- og dem-retorik, der hersker blandt amerikanerne.
Yeah. Well, or World War II, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger released a video where he compared the storming of the Capitol to Kristallnacht
mm-hmm.
and said that a lot of the feeling, the sentiment the amongst the populace seemed similar, and then went on to warn about the impact that can have on just everyday people, you know, just being around that kind of rhetoric can really be degrading to your spirit and mm-hmm. to your ability to function. So that was a comparison that he made, and it could be fair.
Forleden udsendte Arnold Schwarzenegger en video, hvor han sammenlignede stormen på kongressen med krystalnatten og trak sammenligninger mellem sin opvækst og erfaringer fra krigstiden i Østrig og den populisme, som hersker i USA i dag. En verden, hvor naboen og ens venner blev opslugt i en ødelæggende ideologi. Dem, man ellers før sagtens havde kunne tale med, men som nu pludselig stod for ekstreme politiske værdier, ført an af en kultleder. Noget, som Laurie føler, hun oplevede i frokoststuen med sin Trump-støttende kollega, da billederne af kongressen rullede over skærmen.
When I had my, I guess you call it argument with my coworker, and he said, this, it's going to be civil war. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, Philip, what is that going to look like? Who is your side going to come after me?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who has a Biden sign in their lawn or had a Biden? I mean, what is that going to look like? Are you going to come and shoot us?
Mm-hmm.
And of course not. Yeah. You know, absolutely not. So it's all on this level of there's like
a chest pounding almost.
Yeah, chest pounding or just a simmering civil unrest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even rage.
Yeah.
Like a barely contained rage, but they're not quite certain who to point that at.
Mm.
Laurie's kollega siger, ligesom mange amerikanere, som republikaneren Mike kender, at der er borgerkrig på vej. Men hvordan ser en borgerkrig ud i nutidens USA, spørger hun. Er det Trump mod Biden-støtter, og vil hende og kollegaen, der normalt arbejder fint sammen, når det ikke lige handler om politik, så pludselig være fjender? Laurie føler, at meget af vreden i USA lige nu ikke har en direkte modtager, men mere vil give sig udtryk i form af oprør, som det i kongressen i sidste uge.
They are aggrieved.
Yeah. And they're told to be angry and to be scared
mm-hmm.
by this constant stream of misinformation and craziness that really is all about money.
Amerikanerne er under Trump blevet fortalt, at de skal være vrede og bange, mener Laurie. Alt sammen led i et spil om magt, opmærksomhed og penge, som Aaron mener er katalysator for hele spektaklet.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's all about how many clicks can you get?
Yeah.
I mean, Aaron has ideas that this whole thing is just capitalism. It's like the natural conclusion of late stage capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, I think that's exactly right.
Money and power, huh?
Yeah. I mean, the motivation for so much of this misinformation is really just getting clicks and attention.
Der er opmærksomhed og magt i at misinformere folk, og Aaron føler, det spiller en stor rolle i den politiske udvikling i USA i dag. Men én ting har familien dog stadig tro på, og det er, at de amerikanske nabo- og venskaber fortsat er stærkere end den vrede, der hersker mellem politiske fløje og folk, der ikke kender hinanden ud over deres politiske kulør.
But I do still feel hopeful. again, that, you know, they wouldn't actually take action against their neighbor. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, there would be some, but I'm very hopeful that that would be the radicalized minority.
Og mens familien Villain altså har tiltro til styrken i ven- og naboskaber, så holder Mike ude på landet også fast i, at det er en minoritet af den amerikanske befolkning, der er interesseret i en optrækning af vold og konflikt. For ham så står prøvelsen for, om USA kan holde sig i ro på onsdag, når Biden skal indsættes.
I think that if it goes off without a hitch, the inauguration on Wednesday, things should start to hopefully smooth out after mm-hmm. that. That's yeah. what I'm hoping for.
Yeah.
If it doesn't go off without a hitch, I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah. What do you mean with when you say hitch?
Well, without any protests or riots or any of that stuff, that's what we don't want to see.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think most Americans don't want to see it.
Kan USA komme igennem Bidens indsættelse på onsdag uden demonstrationer og voldelige sammenstød, så tror Mike på, at der er lys forude. Et fredeligt lys, som også langt de fleste amerikanere ønsker at se.
I've got a big question mark. I guess everybody does right now. What's going to transpire?
So you kind of feel like the inauguration is going to be the breaking point, huh?
I think that will be a step in the right direction once it's over with.
Ligesom alle andre amerikanere, tror jeg, så er fremtiden lige nu noget af et spørgsmålstegn. Men ifølge Mike, så vil onsdagens ceremoni i D.C. blive en vejrhane for, hvor USA er på vej hen. Og med de ord, så var det alt for amerikanske stemmer for i dag. Lige om lidt, så får USA en ny præsident og går ind i en helt ny æra. Hvad den kommer til at byde på, det er næsten alt for spændende. Men en ting er sikkert, og det er, at det er noget, vi kommer til at undersøge lige her i programmet. Jeg er altid at fange på mailen amerikanskestemmer@radio4.dk. Tak fordi du lyttede med i dag, og jeg håber, du vil gøre det igen i næste uge. Og indtil da, stay safe.